Oh my God, you have two therapists?
Yeah.
It's a lot. I remember there's an article about Chris Rock, and it was like he has like 7 hours of therapy a week or something like that. And you were like, I was always so pro therapy, and the older I get, the more I go, the system is feeling bloated these days.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit
sloppy.
Do you
go to therapy?
I saw a therapist for a long, long, long time, and then I stopped. So I still do couples counseling, which is to me is not the same
the
as therapy. Yeah.
Okay, great.
There was a time. There was a time. No. But that time has passed.
Good.
I can't, you know.
Yeah.
The rule was, in the beginning, she didn't want me to talk about couples counseling on stage because she said, I don't want to feel like when we're there, you're thinking of bits.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was,
I'm always thinking of bits.
I'm always thinking of bits.
Yeah. Is the couples therapist a man or a woman?
Woman.
The wall behind you fucks my eyeballs up.
Oh, yeah. I get what you mean.
Does that fuck you up?
It's a little trippy.
Right?
I lean into the trip. I'm floating on it.
I can lean into it.
I'm on my half.
But I lose you when I lean into it.
I see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have a woman's couple service?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We used to go in person. Then their office moved strictly to Zoom, which I think is bad. I think Zoom therapy is bad.
I can't do it.
I never went back after COVID to in-person therapy, even with the therapist that I was with for a long time. But it
Why
was just
is
a matter
Zoom
of
therapy bad?
I think a lot of psychological reasons. I think when you have to go somewhere, there's a journey. You go to a new space.
I think it's the accountability thing. Like
it's
you're
the
like
accountability.
I'm going to do this thing for me. It's like going to a workout class versus doing like some dumbbells in your house.
Zoom therapy versus therapy in person is different between porn and sex.
Yes. Yes.
There's smells. There's maybe it's not you're not touching your therapist.
There's a safe space. There's a space that you're like, I go here every week, I create this. Where's that
you're
one?
You're confronting another person. You can't just close the laptop and you're free.
Dude, the closing of the laptop is so brutal. Mm-hmm. When you're like in this whole deep dark thing about your past and then you shut it and you're just in your apartment alone.
Especially with couples counseling, because sometimes things get riled up and you're like, and there goes the referee.
Yeah.
There
literally.
Goes the referee. Here's the next round.
You don't have to walk to a train together. Barred. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go in person every time.
No. Now they just do it. They just, and that's my fear with the industry is that it's obviously so convenient.
It's a puppy mill of therapists.
Yeah. There's just more like BetterHelp and like what's the qualifications. And it always was a messy, it's a soft science.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be sloppy, but just because it's sloppy doesn't mean you don't always strive to have it be good.
Yeah.
And I think there's just going to be more like life coaches and just looser and looser and looser.
Yeah.
And back in the day, if your friend was struggling, you could say, hey, you should go to therapy. And now they're like, I am in therapy. And you're like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
I don't know what, you need a second therapist.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're introducing a new.
There was two. One of my therapists is very like, here's how you stand up for yourself against other people. And then the other one is like, here's how you deal with, his is more like the battle against myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alan is very much like you fight other people. Like you basically stand up for yourself, set a boundary, da 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 da. But I kind of needed somebody who was going to be like, you got to set boundaries with yourself, because I wasn't doing any of that.
I just wonder if it's do they know each other exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they go, oh, what does Alan say?
No. But sometimes they disagree.
Listen, there's no exactitude. I think my judgy nature, a judgy version of me goes,
please.
You got to have one.
Yeah.
You got to have one feedback loop, because I think the hardest thing about therapy is avoidance of confronting things that you have to face. And if you have two different therapists, you're able to hide from whatever that confrontation is by just focusing on whatever the other.
But imagine if two people told you to confront the same thing. You'd be like, all right, I got to do this. Like,
if
for example, my one therapist was like, you have to get out of this relationship. And the other therapist was like, you can fix it. And then by the end, the other therapist was like, no, you got to steer clear of this.
Uh-huh.
So now I have two. So now I'm like, okay, I have mommy and daddy telling me I can't do this. It's not just dad who's doing that because he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting
a second opinion.
I have a second opinion all the time.
One's a woman, one's a man?
They're both men. But
okay.
One's gay and one's straight.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt like, I wonder if I got another therapist again now, it was a woman for a while, younger than my mom, but old enough to be in there. I think if I got another therapist, I would want it to be.
I need
a
man.
A man.
I don't listen to women.
I need a man.
Yeah.
I need, and it's got to be my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be dad.
Have you ever
hugged?
Hugged?
Yeah, they ask for hugs because I'm.
They ask for hugs.
Yeah.
In lieu of payment?
No, no, I pay them. They and in exchange for them asking me for hugs. Honestly, they ask you for hugs? Really what
both
it is.
Of them ask you for hugs.
Sometimes it'll be like. The whole thing is I'm not good with physical affection. So when I leave and I've been like sobbing, they'll be like, do you want a hug? And I'll be like, yeah, I'll take
okay,
a hug.
Okay, they'll say, do you want a hug? Okay.
Yeah, but they're trying to be like, this is what it's like to be okay with physical because I'm so averse to it.
Really?
Yeah.
We hugged when I came here.
I can do that hug. It's just I can't. It's more like a like if I was sad and you tried to hug me, I'd be like, ah.
If my last therapist at the end of every session asked if I wanted a hug, I'd still be with her. I go back to in person immediately. I had one. Jesus, it was a. I've been with this therapist. I was with her a long time. I had a surgery the next day, and I said, "Can I give you a hug?" And it felt like a big ask.
Yeah, yeah, it's
and
scary.
She said yes. If she had said no, I would have killed myself.
I worry
in her
that
office.
They say no, but I don't under. I tried to write a bit about this where I was like, I need a therapist for after the therapist to deal with the fact that I just poured myself out and they didn't hug me back. Like that's exactly how my family is. Mm. You know what I mean? You're just reaffirming this whole thing
yeah.
that when I say my needs, I don't get any sort of consolation.
It's a delicate role. That's not. It's like they.
I don't need a back rub, but a hug is like human chimpanzee.
Sure. Listen, I don't disagree. I'm a pro touch person. And I feel like we live in a society that has very much veered away from that.
Yeah.
I get
the
very frustrated.
The fist bump is now the only thing people do.
Yoga class. I do a lot of yoga. Oh. And they have different versions. In the beginning, the teacher, your head's down. Wave your hand if you don't want me to touch you. I've never looked up. In my mind, I go, who's waving their hand? Or sometimes they have a little sticker thing. It's so fucking annoying. We flip it up if you don't want to be adjusted or whatever. And then the worst
Who
part is...
Who doesn't want to be adjusted?
They don't give you a lot of adjustments. And yeah. I remember going to yoga classes where there was a lot of touch. Maybe my form's
oh,
gotten
yeah.
better.
Oh, yeah. When we were in college?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So I'm
pro-touch.
Where
they fucking push you in when you're in child's pose and they stretch yeah. you out? It's
I mean,
the best.
Theater class. I mean, oh, yeah. for theater. It was nuts.
I minored in contact improv.
Yeah.
Where you would just roll over each other's body in a mess and fill the space constantly.
My mom, she once saw me hug someone I went to college for musical theater with, and her husband was there, and she saw me hug this woman, and she was like, Gianmarco, the way you were hugging that woman. She was shocked. She thought like it was just so, like just this intimate hug. And I was like, oh, that was just a normal theater kid hug.
Your parents aren't huggy.
My mom is definitely not super physical. My dad is very physical.
Really?
Yeah. My dad and I, that's kind of all we have left to our relationship, to be honest. Like hugs and kisses. Huggy
why?
And kissy.
Why not anything else?
Oh, just a tough relationship. And I think I suspect he either has dementia. It's hard to tell because
he's
71, I believe.
Yeah.
He's always been crazy. He's always been wild. And I just feel like somewhere in there, I lost the ability to gain traction of conversation or you know, he just can't
remember. Too spastic?
Yeah, a little bit. Super hyper narcissistic.
Mm.
I have many traits that he has, but also like at this point, it's like the memory is out of no memory at all of like, he still runs a company, so he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
But he barely can remember my girlfriend's name. He'll just fuck it up. And it's like, it's one of those things where you could take it personally and go, you don't care. And then I'm like, I just don't think you're able to take in new things. I think depressed for 50 years. And
yeah.
And his hearing is going and like refuses to get hearing aids. And made very clear the last dinner we had that a retirement community, he'd rather die. So... It's a tough bomb to deal with.
That shit is the fact that they'd all rather die. I'm like, then they need to make the lethal injection legal.
Of course, look at these retirement communities that they put their parents in. I mean, they're bad or we live in a bad society for getting old. That's why none of these people want to retire, whether it be politicians or other facets of because they know once they give up their power, they are useless and they will be neglected.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I get why he doesn't want to go.
I wouldn't want to go. But it is, they got to be able to kill themselves when they want to die.
I do believe people should be allowed to kill themselves. But I don't think that many people are automatically going to do it. I don't think nice. My dad
it's
would
It's like
do
having
it.
When I have a Xanax on hand at all times. It makes me feel better just knowing that I can check out. I think it would help them. If
you're talking about a cyanide pill too?
A cyanide pill locked up that you can take whenever you want, I think would help old people. Because the idea that they have to die from pain is brutal.
You have the fortitude to, okay, my friend, this is a secondhand story, but my friend, his friend worked at like a nursing home or whatever and talked about like all the old people. This is a very awful thing to know. All the old people go like, I can't wait to get out of here. And the nurse said at the end, they're always not ready to go.
Really?
And it was like, there's some video there's of an old woman blowing out the candles on the cake and going, I hope this is the last one. And there's something comforting in that as someone who's always thought about death from
Obsessed
the time I was
it.
A babe. It's like, oh, good. Someday I'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
And this nurse is like, that's what they say.
Right at the end, they're like, no.
Yeah. But people do it. There's suicide pods in Sweden.
Yeah.
Do you... I don't think I could do it.
I think our biology tells us to hold on.
Oh, for sure.
I think that those dead, it's like when you jump off a bridge and you're like, I want to live. I think your biology kicks in and is survival mode for even when you're old. But I do think if they are constantly saying, I'm ready to die, even if at the last second they take it back, I still think they're ready to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fear. Sure. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what's going to happen. And these people pretend to know their entire life. Old people pretend to believe in God their entire life. And I think when they go down to it, they go, what if not? Sure. What if no way? Likely no way.
That's what I want to say. I want to be like, guys, I won't believe in God the whole time. And right at the end, I'll turn it on. I'll turn it on right at the end. I didn't do all that church shit either.
Yeah,
I'll just believe right in that second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find myself accidentally believing in God, like private jets. I don't want to ever take a private jet because I feel like if God had to choose... between the private jet going down and the commercial jet.
I try to fight that thought in myself.
You do.
Whenever it can be tough because it makes life a little bit, you know, when something happens that's so coincidental or feels like a metaphor or something beautiful.
Yeah.
I go, that's random.
Yeah.
That's random. And it would be nice if I could go, oh. And then I think about Palestine and I go, no. There's no God that gave you this cute little metaphor and said, fuck those kids.
Yeah.
That's what I went through like a philosophy phase. I know nothing. But Bertrand Russell, who was like one of the big philosophers, he said something about seeing like a child dying of illness is what made him truly stop believing in God. Just that seeing true suffering in the face of that, if you're being honest about it, it's tough to believe in God.
But the random thing can be God-like.
It can feel that way, but I try to like.
But it can
know,
feel godlike in the fact that you're like the fact that everything is entropy and chaos. The fact that I'm running into this person is so, it's
cool.
It's so cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
But like, it's like beyond that. It's hard. It's kind of like when someone is ill, and you don't believe in prayer deeply. You go, well, fuck. I guess I just gonna wait. Then there's nothing to do.
Right.
There's nothing to. I can't even send good vibes. It's all nothing to me. And it's not like a fun. It's not good.
You have to do it in like recovery groups. Like I'm in addiction, you know, like a anonymous addiction groups where you have to, they really demand that you pray to end your addiction. And it does help a lot because the thing that you're praying to, what I've realized is you're praying to choice. Like you're being like, I'm praying that I make the better choice here. So your higher power is the version of yourself that choose to go with the addiction
so
or not.
So it's you?
It
do
is.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Like, for example, when I wanted to play Salieri in the play Amadeus, you know, the movie Amadeus?
Yeah.
And he talks a lot to God. And it's like, as an actor, you got to be like, well, who am I talking to so I can tap into this? I don't have to believe in God.
Yeah.
But who am I talking to? And I never, it's hard for me to find. I don't have that. Do you feel like... you're talking to something, someone?
It's like the higher self. Like I'm talking to the version of myself, like the child version of myself that doesn't know that it's a crazy addict. The child version of myself that's like, of course I'm going to choose the better thing. I haven't been corrupted
yet. Is it
you
as a little kid?
It's the knowledge, it's the side of me that has like instinctual understanding of what I need versus the side of me that's just choosing out of fear and the void that's been created. It's like, hey, the Jordan that hasn't learned that this cures this, and that if you just take this little hit of dopamine, you'll be better. Can you help me out here? Like yeah. that side of Jordan that's like, dude, just go through the pain now and it'll be better later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can your voice get a little bit louder? That's what I'm asking for. I do talk to my dead dad though. Like when I lose, like I lost Coyote, my dog, and I was like crying and being like, dude, dad, you have to help me. Like I have to, you have to bring the dog back.
Do you say it out loud in your head? Like, what are you thinking?
It depends on how desperate I am. I've definitely said it out loud. I've made barters. I barter with my dad. I'm like, dude, I'll never talk to this guy again. If you bring the dog, I'll never do this again. Like I'm totally, sure. But the talk with my dad is one thing where I'm like, sometimes I have full like lucid hallucination mid dream things where he is like, we are fully communicating and I'm like halfway in sleep.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels so real that I'm like, and also my connection with my dad was so in, we were like, it was, we had a thing where we'd basically say out loud, like he'd be like, when I die, you know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to be talking to you. We'll be around. I'll be around.
Yeah.
And I pushed that away for so long. And now sometimes I'll tap into it. And I'm like, even if this is like a hallucination or a whatever, it's helping me.
Absolutely. And I have no, you know, especially as you get older, it's like, I've never had like the atheistic streak of like, I need people to,
I have that.
But at the, listen, I have it when it comes to like astrology or whatever, but like when I hear your, when I hear this, I don't feel determined to be like, well, Jordan, do you understand though?
Yeah, no,
that
of course.
That his Adam, I think there's always, will always be a sliver of me that does not want to be an atheist.
Yeah.
And it's like in art or in consciousness or some, there is a fuzzy version of me that I can tap into, but the moment I were to put it into words, I would automatically go, well, this is bullshit and this is bullshit and that's bullshit.
I'm surprised that you don't have the, because you're very you're very on the Palestine side. And that sure. is that, I mean, I am, dude, I am 100%, I can see both ways. It's, I very much,
I think I would articulate more. I would say that I think like Israel is carte blanche, like committing insane crimes with the endorsement of our government as much as it is like, and that's kind of the real moral thrust where I'm like, there's a mass of people being murdered and starved. And we all, America specifically, like wants to believe in, especially the Republican side, like a Christian, loose Christian concept of morality and rules. And they want us to believe that while ignoring the fact that outside a bubble of specific group of people, everyone else can be slaughtered at will to maintain that. And
well, I think they're saying that Zionism has to win because Islam is the death cult. And
well, first of all, it's, I mean, but how long can you say something's a death cult
when there's no power behind
when the people committing all the murder is the IDF? I think it's like whenever people like go, well, like where they have the IDF and you have to remember Hamas are terrorists, I'm like, well, two, all the people being murdered, the IDF is terrorists.
Right.
Like, if you're talking to someone who seriously can't actually go, oh, yeah, the term terrorism is applied only in one direction, and that America has been terrorists in all sorts of capacities, maybe once removed or funded terrorism.
But isn't the whole thing that the problem with Palestine is that Palestinians fundamentally believe in their doctrines that all Jews
what do you
need
mean,
to die.
Their doctrines. What, like, what do you mean the Palestinian doctrine?
Like to be Islamic, basically.
I think first, it's, again, it's a group of people.
Right.
So it's like, do these children have these doctrines? Do these people have this doctrine? I mean, again, I go more.
But they would say yes, they do, because they elected
Hamas. Could you not just say this about Israel given their actions? I mean, given their actions, I don't think there's any monolithic thought. People could look at America, as some do, and go, "We're all mass murderers." And I would say, you know, I'm not, or I don't believe in this, or whatever. Like my money does go to it, but I don't follow it. But that's just it. Literally is what humanity has done forever, and it's just taking a whole group of people saying they all think this one thing, they all want to hurt you. And villainizing them in a way where we start undermining that they're human beings.
Yeah.
And I think if any of us saw it in front of us, I mean, the reason the news doesn't show videos of a parent holding their dead child is because they know it would fuck us up and make us go, well, that doesn't fit into the worldview. That's why the news doesn't show it, like, graphically. And I don't think there's any great argument for – there's no good argument for genocide. And the idea that you're going to just – I mean, I would say from a tactical way, I'm like, all you're doing is you're creating more hatred for Jewish people. The Israel government, endorsed by a lot of Jewish Americans, has gone to criticize Israel's to criticize Jews in general, thus tying us to the actions of this one country as they commit crimes and murder. And so I don't think the Palestinian people have any deep indoctrination. Do I think that there are sects that certainly want to destroy Israel or say stuff like someone says death to America or someone says death to Jews? But also, if their whole family was killed by Israel,
yeah,
like what? Like, well, who are we kidding? And Israel, by the way, is saying death to them.
They would argue that they elected Hamas, which actually, you know what I mean? That's the whole argument.
I don't always know the full details of, like,
yeah,
when did Hamas win the one election 14 years ago or whatever. But like, that's like if someone murdered me, and that would be like if someone from Palestine, let's say a child whose parents were murdered by the IDF.
Mm-hmm.
Found me one day and killed me and said, well, you voted for Trump. Well, you live in America, which gave the weapons. Used literally a portion of your money went to the bomb that blew up my parents. You should die. Now, I obviously don't want that. I don't think that logic's a good way to live. So I can't enforce that logic.
But this always comes down to my
question.
Are Palestinians trying to get out?
What do you mean?
This is like, I've wondered this for so long. Like, are Palestinians being like, let us out to a different, like, let us retreat?
I think first of all, I think, like, there's a lot of, like, Israel going, like, move there, move there, move there, move there. And then they bomb it anyway. So they're,
say I brought in giant ships and I said, all Palestinians get on, we'll move you somewhere else where Hamas is not the leader. Would they get on the boats?
You mean, like, create an Israel for Palestinians?
Yeah.
Sure, maybe we should do that in America. We'll start a new Palestinian state in America.
But I'm saying, would they get on?
Of our own medicine, would they get on?
Would they get on the boats, or would they be like, "This is our homeland. I'm not getting on the boats."
I think I can't speak for them all.
I know, but I want to know that so bad.
Some of them live there. There might not be a place for them to go. By the way, they brought some kids who's were amputees. They brought them to America to give them health care. That fucking cunt with the monstrous lizard face who's like sucked Trump off and then got kicked out of the White House. What's her name? They just did a daily episode about her. She's like she's very plasticky face, long black hair. She tweeted, what are these kids? We can't support these kids here. Sure enough, she's close enough to the Trump administration. Now they're no longer letting in the amputee kids to get health care. So first of all, it's like, why would this group of people, again, we can agree that we can't paint a whole group of people as Hamas.
Yeah.
We can't paint if a portion elected them into power years and years and years and years ago, that they're somehow responsible for everything. And at the end of the day, what the IDF has done, they've killed way more Palestinians.
Dude, I got into a whole thing with ChatGPT about it where I was like, I need you to argue both sides, and the numbers are so fucked.
What do you – it's – I like you.
Yeah.
What do you – what's the side that – what does Israel present to you that you find compelling?
First of all, I'm way more on the Palestine side. It's just,
sure.
It's just, I also.
But by the way, you don't even have to pick a side. You can just go. You can just say, like, people are starving. They're blocking the food getting into Palestine and saying, well, Hamas is taking it. They can just say Hamas, 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 and basically the entire American media will support it. They've been claiming this forever. Every hospital, every journalist killed, and they've killed. Today or yesterday, they killed like four.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then they say, well, there was one Hamas person with a camera. And I think, like, people who were more, certainly more educated than I had, like, when October 7th happened and when all the flyers of the hostages went up, people who who understood the Israel-Palestinian conflict since before that time would have said, like, this didn't just happen with this one action. Like, there were so many Palestinians being killed, and it was an apartheid state, and there was just so much more than just this one moment.
And I know, but the argument of the other side, here's the deal. I'm way more on the, like, if there was two protests, I'm going to the Palestine protest, 100%. I'm a liberal, very liberal person, and the Palestine thing has always been insane to me. The problem is the people, a lot of people in my life are on the other side, so I've asked a million.
A lot of people?
Oh, totally. Really? What do you mean? We're in comedy. What are you talking about? You talk?
Sure.
But, like, even, like, for example, I'm, like, a huge Sam Harris devotee. I'm very, mm-hmm. and he is now fully Zionist. So I've listened to a lot of shit because I've, like, followed everything he's ever done. Like, I'm very pro-Sam Harris. The atheism has helped me through the no free will thing. Mm-hmm. So when he became Zionist, I was like, what is going on? You're, like, the most lucid person. How is this? So I've listened to a lot about it. So I try and argue that against if I have somebody, you know what I mean, to understand. But I get how if you take a bunch of hostages, you refuse to let them go. I get how in other situations that would
be. But hold up. But again, it's easy for us to go refuse to let them go. There's been 100 different ways of trying to negotiate some kind of terms, and this is the way the American media presents it.
Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm not a journalist in it, but the media presents it like this. They go, Hamas will not release the hostages. And there's lots of times that Netanyahu, who by the way was in trouble. Like, he was in trouble for a lot of corruption charges before this. So a lot of this functioning kind of does keep him afloat, and it is important. He has a small sect of a very right wing destroy Palestine group that is always kind of, he needs their support.
Right.
And there's plenty of negotiations that he just didn't agree to the terms to. But the, like, kind of the baseline level that a lot of people just go, well, they won't release them. And we would do anything to release them. And so we have to bomb. And it's like, it's way more complex about who is preventing this deal being done. And by the way, Israel's holding on to a shitload of Palestinians in prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, in awful conditions too. So again, it's like we are being fed so intensely a singular side of the story. And of course, we literally fund the weapons.
But it's not that singular. I mean, the New York Times is very pro-Palestine.
I don't think that's true.
Really?
I think America is so Zionist in general. Biden said, if there is no Israel, Jews will not be safe. To me, that's a psycho statement.
Yeah.
And
well, that's like the Zoran thing, right?
It's a psycho statement, yeah. and Jews have this. I was not raised in a very Jewish household, but I certainly have picked up stuff from having a girlfriend who's raised, you know, Chabad and other Jews around me, where the Holocaust happened, and, you know, its legacy has, of course, while important to remember, has been exploited to basically defend any kind of paranoia or anxiety that Jews have. And to be stereotypical, we have a lot of anxiety. And there is this constant thing of, which you hear Biden parrot as a Catholic, Israel needs to exist because if shit goes bad, where are the Jews gonna go? And I do think there's a lot of Jewish people who have that, like, well, if they could turn any second, and then we all have to huddle together. And I go, ugh, I think if you view people that way, if you really do see yourself as the chosen people in some deep part of your soul, then good luck functioning with the rest of humanity. Good luck. If you think you are better than everyone else, or God chose you above everyone else, you're going to be okay committing war crimes against everyone else.
Most people once October 7th happened, they were like, if you're raping women and you're killing babies, you're going to get leveled. Like, that's a very simple way that people view it.
Sure. But for example, like there was this story about the 40 beheaded babies, and it was like a completely baseless thing that was created. And again,
right, but we know that women were murdered. We know people were raped.
It certainly was not. I wouldn't want to have been at the concert.
But there's a lot of people that are literally like, Islam is a death cult. The people who support Hamas, the people like.
But how can we say Islam is the death cult while bombing children again and again? Like, to me,
October 7th justified it for all of them. Honestly,
it's like 9/11.
It's like the terrorist attack justifies. Sure,
and we look back at our actions on 9/11. I think what's shocking is that everyone looks back on our actions on 9/11 and the Iraq War and the way that we handled it and the people that were murdered, who we will never see and we will never face unless one of them fucking gets a plane.
Yeah.
But like, it depends what world you want to live in. If you want to live in the world where you go like, yeah, I'll buy the propaganda of it all. But I wish you would be honest and say, not you, I would say this person be honest and go, you don't care about murdering people. And you don't care about murdering, I mean, I would say in this particular instance, you don't care about murdering innocent Palestinians if it makes you feel a little bit safer, especially if you're in America, my God, and you're going like, this is okay. And I would argue to you, if you think that's okay, if you think it is fine to feel a little bit safer to murder a bunch of babies, you can't expect everyone to be on board. You can't be surprised when people start questioning the fundamental morality of your society. What does good and bad mean in your little microcosm?
Anything Sam Harris said back at you, I truly agree with you. But the problem is everything I listen to, I then agree with whatever it is. That is why I like having these conversations, because I can be if you were pro-Israel, I could be swayed right now. So it's like what he would say is they want like Israel is trying to tactically remove Hamas.
But you don't believe that. You don't believe Israel's tactically...
I don't believe anything Israel does is good. And I don't think our relationship is good with Israel. And sure. I think all of it is very fucked up. And I think that we're their little bitch. And it's very bizarre. And I think that maybe that... And what I would be told is that I have a little anti-Semitism in me. And then I would have to go, well, maybe that is true. I don't know what's going on.
You can't... If you can't criticize a foreign country without being accused of anti-Semitism, the fault is not on you. The fault is on the people who perpetrate that connection.
Imagine it's the United States and Canada comes over, flies in. Okay, not Canada. Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Okay, they come over.
Which is part of America.
I know. Okay. That's what I mean.
So they come over.
They come over and they're like, I'm sick of you not paving our roads or doing anything. They rape a bunch of people, kill a bunch of people.
You mean all Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rico.
No, just some Puerto Rican government officials that they have elected themselves that are rebels. And they come over and do all that shit, right? I don't think that in our world we would be like, let's level them. I think that would be insane to us to be like, let's kill Puerto Ricans.
Of course, I completely agree.
But how is it being justified by people that we respect? What is their perspective?
Perspective? I would imagine from an American strategic point, they go, oh, we want a foothold in the Middle East. We want to have some power there. We want an ally there. We have some kind of trade. We have technology. It's an extension of American interests. And to maintain that, they're willing to commit genocide. And then where fascism comes in, I think, is that people see it and they go, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I may benefit in this society, or, you know, my forefathers or whatever may have allowed me to go to Colombia, but fuck this shit. We're protesting and we want disinvestment and people want to shake things up here in a way that breaks this apart. And the president who's been emboldened with kind of all the influence he's been able to gather goes, shut it down. Shut it down. I don't want. So you have cops beating their heads, or you have the colleges giving $500 million donations so they can keep their grants. And that's when real fascism comes into play, where now you're just trying to shut down. I mean, it's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy running a government. A healthy government, certainly, no government's going to be perfect. And there's going to be fights and rebellions and changes of power. And the moment someone tries to solidify the power and prevent change and prevent the people from speaking, that's when fascistic things come into play.
Yeah.
And that's where you start hitting college students. And so when I see like...
And deporting Americans.
I mean, vile, vile shit.
Yeah.
But the way that they paint it, though, is, you know, my mom will go like, well, these colleges, it's the Jews are scared to be. And I go, shut the fuck up, because you can't even give into it for like an inch. Oh, some Jewish students feel that nervous about talking about Israel. It's like, well, these people are being bombed over here. These cops are hitting kids on the head over here. They're getting expelled. They're being deported. Like,
what is the rise of anti-Semitism thing coming from? Your mom says that?
No, I think there's a rise. Listen, there's anti-Semitism means a thousand different things. If you go on Twitter, there's some brutal anti-Semitism. I mean, crazy shit. And it's always hard to differentiate between like the edgelords and the comedians. I have jokes that an anti-Semitic would probably love.
Yeah.
You know? But it's the, I think there has to be a at this point, a brutal separation between what is it to criticize Israel, which has been labeled anti-Semitism for a long time,
right,
and what is it to be literally anti-Semitic. And unfortunately, I think when Israel and the propaganda machine insisted that criticizing them was anti-Semitic, they're only contributing to anti-Semitism. And a lot of the conservatives who hated Jews to begin, who had these grand conspiracy theories about weather control or running the banks or whatever, now, of course, they're encouraged to believe it.
Right.
Now they have reason. And now you know, people who are fighting Israel or don't like Israel, speaking against Israel, they're going to have to navigate with a coalition that just hates the Jews.
Yeah.
And that's why I think there's a certain degree of like Jews who can see the bullshit of Israel.
Is your very Jewish girlfriend pro-Palestine?
I don't want to speak fully for her other than to say I don't think she could be with me if she didn't share a lot of my core values. I don't want to speak beyond that, only because she, I mean, first of all, she comes from a Chabad background, so it certainly was not easy. I mean, no one from her childhood life.
Have you gotten any, like...
And show business is fucked
up.
Yeah,
have you gotten fucked by it at all?
I don't think I matter enough to have it been important. But I remember I had a signing meeting, a potential signing meeting, and like, you know, an older guy comes up to me and goes, "So, it's gotta be crazy talking about all this Israel-Palestine stuff right now." And I'm like, "I know where you sit on this."
Right.
And I'm also glad you're not on Twitter. You're 75 years old.
You're vocal.
I've certainly been told that there were twice that I shared Mike Racine tweets.
Yeah.
Because some of the stuff he makes is so funny and brutal. But
yeah.
Twice, there were both tweets of his that I shared on Instagram where I was told, you know, and I'm not going to get that specific, but someone had something like, people were talking a little bit. They weren't happy with that thing. Now, they were harsh.
Yeah.
They were harsh.
Yeah.
They were not simply criticizing Israel. They were harsh critiques.
Well, he has a lot of anti-Semitic
moments.
Yeah.
But again, it's like.
But you think that lost you the signing?
No. I didn't lose the signing. I just think like there's certainly a lot of Jewish people who work in Hollywood. You'd be a liar to say otherwise. And a lot of Jews have been raised in a Zionist thinking, and I do know people who have had career consequences for speaking up. Specifically, I think I am protected by the fact that I am a Jew.
Really?
Of course.
I just don't get why it's not cut and dry. I just don't get why it's so divided, why it isn't obvious that, like, yeah, October 7th should not have happened, but the whole occupation shouldn't have happened. Like, it's, you can just trace it back to the minute that the West was like, we're just going to give you Israel, fuck all these people, move them over. I just don't get how it's not.
I think, like,
because of the homeland thing? Happens, it's the homeland thing? It's all the homeland?
When a tragedy happens, people are bloodthirsty. And I wasn't old enough when 9/11 happened, but like, you hear people who go like, and that's when I enlisted.
Why were Jews originally kicked out of Israel way back? Rome?
I don't know. This is beyond my
Why opinion. Did they originally leave? They left, they had to disperse. That's why that's why they all look different depending on where they're
it's
from.
It's going to be a brutal, we got to ask ChatGPT
about really,
this one.
It's really, should we ask
him? No, don't, please.
It's really funny.
I don't trust. We cannot. It's not accurate enough yet. Why are you using ChatGPT?
What do you mean historically? Why originally were the Jews kicked out of Israel?
Yeah, who?
It was the Romans. I think it was the Romans.
Sure. Then let's go after those.
I think
guys.
It was. But then there was dispersion, and then in the prayers at night before bed or whatever the fuck, all Jews are like, next time in Israel or after dinner or something.
The problem is, Israel doesn't need any defending from any comedians right now. They're getting all the American resources. They have the full support of our entire government. They certainly don't need... They don't need some fucking hack comedian.
I know,
going,
but I'm just saying.
Going, if you were gay in Gaza, they'd throw you off the roof.
Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing anti-Palestine jokes.
I was thinking of a specific comedian.
What?
Oh my God, there's a lot of comedians making. I mean, none of them are great jokes because it's usually not that funny to be like the people doing the killing. They got a good point.
I have jokes about Muslims. I have jokes about Jews. I mean, I have jokes about anybody who's delusional enough to believe in religion. But I haven't heard any, like, fuck Palestinian jokes.
No, and this is not to be cruel, but, you know, you do sometimes believe that you're talking to your dead father.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I make fun of myself for that, too.
Sure.
Yeah. It's all fair game. Everything's fair game.
Sure.
But delusion is delusion. The fact that I talk to my dead dad when I have a whole joke where I talk to him only when a toilet gets clogged.
But, you know, when you get older and you realize that most people don't actually believe in the religiosity of the religion. It's just an aspect of a community outside of government that they value and think is worth holding on to.
That's my Subway take for tomorrow, is I'm going to say I don't think religious people are actually religious.
Sure.
I don't think they actually believe in it.
Yeah.
Or else they'd be banging down doors constantly.
I think I remember just where I start realizing, like, oh, all the priests don't necessarily believe in God. This is their job. This is their institution. They get funding. There's sometimes a charity. There's sometimes a secret pedophile ring. And, like, there's a lot of other things outside
perks.
Yeah.
The perks of pedophilia.
I saw the other day, I was at the airport, and there was a, I don't know, Hasidic or very, very Jewish. And he was waiting for his bag. We're waiting for this bag. It was taking forever. And he was looking at his phone, and he's looking at, you know, the Torah. But, like, he was bored waiting. And the way that I would look at Twitter or the way that I would look at a video, he was looking at tiny, tiny text of a thing that he's read 100 times.
Yeah.
And I, when I see that, I go, it's crazy to believe that if I had been raised differently, I could somehow be entertained or distracted in a nice way from waiting for these bags by this fucking old passage that I've read 100 times.
Yeah.
Instead of me, I'm going back and watching season 1 of Girls on my iPad. And for him, that's what he gets from looking at that text. And I can't understand it. I will never understand it. I can't put myself in his shoes.
It's justification for the fact that he's on Tinder, I think.
I mean, he was looking at it like, it was not like studying it. It was just like, I'm bored waiting for this bag.
Because they have to do X amount of studying a day. That's in their, that's why they're always getting in car crashes, because they're always reading the Torah on their fucking phones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They have to study a certain amount of times a day. Sure. And if you don't do it, then you're in trouble. Which is, it's how can you think they're looking at a fucking thing on your phone that imaginary is?
But that's not it, though. But that's the thing. It's per your point. It's not. It's just like, well, tomorrow I got to talk about the thing, and I got to argue with David, and like, oh, David, he's always going on about this. I know he's wrong about this one thing. It's just their to do. Why am I watching Girls? Because my friend loves it and always loves to talk about it. He's always telling me watch it, and so I watch it to see him.
Yeah.
It's not because I believe in Lena Dunham or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't
it's
think
what
it has
done.
Anything to do with God. Maybe there's a couple people mixed in there. I when I talk about it, I say, like, if you go to a professional wrestling match,
yeah,
there are adults there who are they lying to themselves? Do they really think The Rock is mad at that guy? But they believe it. And I bet some of them are fucking nuts and believe that the wrestling thing is real.
Well, or 5 years old. There's a lot of children.
But I see the children and them, and they're having the same reaction. And I go, this is very similar to church in that, like, you go to church and you look around and there's a couple people, or you'd be like, well, I think that guy actually believes in this shit.
Yeah.
I'm just here to see my friends.
God, the other day I saw, like, full gospel black church in this, like, overhead lit horrible building, and I was like, if there is a God, he is not making it past that drop down ceiling. Mm-hmm. He is not gonna penetrate into this shithole. It was like flickery fluorescent lights and then being like, Jesus, and I was like, he can't hear you through that. That is too bleak. It's too bleak.
I mean, think about drugs. Like, I always think, like, I don't wanted to, I always resisted taking more hallucinogenics because I always said, like, well, if I take that and I don't see God, then I like confirm that there's no God. Mm. But like, I always wanted, I would love a religious, I would love a drug experience that made me believe in God.
But it makes you believe in an interconnectedness, which is very apparent when you look at somebody's fucking eyeball or when you see that.
Sure.
The
but
waves,
what is that interconnectedness? Does it bring you comfort?
It just, it brings you an existential awareness that you don't matter, which is helpful. And that everything is beautiful.
I find it so depressing. I know people who somehow are comforted by nothing mattering. For me,
it gives you it's like Alan Watts was like, if you walk up a mountain, the mountain also walks you up it. It's like you can think of things as being like a burden that you have to sludge through, or you can think of things as perpetuating you with them, mm-hmm. you moving with things, which I think that's what people get. That's what people realize in acid is they're like, or at least what I realize is I'm like, oh, we're all this like shifting, moving, morphing thing. And it's not just me just like fucking pushing through matter and space. Yeah. I am matter. And we're all going.
Sure.
Which is nice because it gives you a sort of like kinetic motion a little bit as opposed to constantly feeling stuck and like everything is slamming up against you and so you
have
to push.
Does it make you feel better as you see your two therapists and deal with this breakup?
Like, if I was brave enough to do mushrooms more, I probably wouldn't need the two therapists. But I had a really – my trips are too big. My trips are too like you will open the store of fear. They take over.
Mm. Mushrooms helps with my – I mean I went through an existential dip in college that was really brutal. It felt really crippling and all I thought about
like obsessing
was,
about your
– Yeah, it was a little OCD too in a way where I'm like should have been in therapy. And unfortunately I had a girlfriend who was very generous at the time but – in the way that like people probably put the onus of their anxiety on God, I put it on my partner.
I always do that.
And
I did that so bad too.
Yeah.
Where they were your
they were
your totem to sanity.
I so wanted to believe in something and they would do this thing where they always stayed up a lot later than me and they would get me a quote. We called it like the quotes. And it was, they would find a scientist because no religious person was going to persuade me. I was so cynical. And they would find a scientist who would express some kind of religious thought.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I'd wake up and they would have messaged me, I think on Facebook, so-and-so said this. And I'd read the passage and I'd go, this is a smart person who's cynical like me. And look, they have a spiritual view, and here's the logic of it. And it would quell it for a second.
Quell what?
Quell of what happens when I die. I don't want to be nothing.
So your partner was using – what would happen if you didn't get the quote? What was the feeling?
I mean, it started as like all things, it started as like a generous gift and suddenly became a brutal expectation.
I would ask my partner, what is my name? And they'd be like, your name's Jordan Jensen. And I'd be like –
I'm sure she would have preferred that.
Yeah, I would make him say it a lot, though, because I thought I wasn't myself. I thought I was losing who I was. And I'd be like, do I sound like myself or do I sound like somebody else? Do I sound like myself? And he'd be like, you sound like yourself. Your name is Jordan Jensen. You were born on this day.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was becoming, I thought the more that I was around people, I would shift who I was and become a different person.
And this is sober?
Yeah.
All the time.
It was my OCD. I mean, it's still... Yeah. Yeah, it was just so yours. You'd wake up, you'd have to get the quote. If you didn't get the quote, it was panic.
Yeah, and oh my God, so there is nothing. So there is nothing. There's no one else.
You were worried about blackness after death.
Yeah, I mean, worse than the blackness, just nothing, just nothing, nothing, nothing.
Nothing is something we don't have. So I think what existential people like us are worried about is a void that you're alone in. Right? It's completely
alone. It
really
is nothing, and it's like. I believe the old Greek philosopher was Epicurus. He was like, I don't fear death, for when I am, death is not. And when death is, I am not.
Yeah.
And I always wanted, but to me, being able to take that and feel fine about it, I'm like, well, I'm the opposite of that. That's horrifying. If death is, I am not. I am not. And he goes well, if I'm not, I'm not. So I don't need to worry about it. It's just people who go, don't worry about dying, because when you're dead, you're not going to be worried about it. And I'm like, our brains clearly think differently.
Are you thinking that, do you have this problem where you're like, what's the point of building up everything that is John Marco, my career, my love, my friends, if it all is gone? Like, is it a, like, you can't take it with you kind of feeling?
Not even, I just don't want to not exist. I just don't want to not
but
exist.
But why? Like, what is it that you don't want to not exist? You don't want to wake up and have the coffee, or you don't want to... Is it because... For me, it's the idea that if there's no reason to do anything if I'm not going to exist, why would I try?
Because it's interesting. You play a game. Why would I play Monopoly if at the end of Monopoly, I don't get to keep the money in my
bank
account?
It's hard for me to play Monopoly.
Because the game was fun. I mean, Monopoly is not a good game to use it, but like... It's, you know, you can look at life as a game.
But I've always looked at that. With sports, I'd be like, what's the point if I can't do this forever? That's why comedy is good, because I can do it forever. I can hold on to it forever.
But are we not artistic? I mean, you're a hard worker. And like, in my religious belief, I think there's an obsessiveness about like, if I keep making great work, I like tap into something. And when I'm on stage in good moments, I don't think about these existential things, and I'm in the moment and I'm pure and I'm making something and it's beautiful. And I always have this vision of like, if I make the greater artistic thing, and there is no such final goal. I know this. You look at people you look at Michael Jackson, someone who made these great, incredible things,
and we're still like
miserable
pedo,
pedophile.
Yeah.
And it's like you, but that's what I pursue. That's what I look to. I religize good art and greatness and beauty.
Yeah.
And the purpose is, you know, what is the purpose? People reinforce the purpose. Your peers respect it. You have fans. You make money. But like...
The ultimate thing sounds like the purpose is that you have the legacy, that when you leave, you don't actually die, right?
Yeah, but if you're not there to enjoy it, I don't know. Legacy has never meant that much to me. I gotta be around to keep doing it.
So you're afraid of dying because you would cease to live. The living is the thing that you want to keep doing.
Yes. And that there's no...
What if you lived as somebody else?
Sure.
Totally fine.
Sure. I mean, scary. Some people's lives are... You could be a Palestinian.
It's scary to me because... but you wouldn't know. It's scary to me... Death is scary to me because I lose everybody I love. I lose everything that I love. That's what scares me.
Sure. I think that's scary too. I certainly like, I'm not like, let everyone else cease to exist too. I don't want anyone to cease to exist.
Yeah.
And so like in my most floweriness, my most fruitiness, I believe consciousness is a fundamental element of something. It's too crazy to me that there's consciousless matter and somehow consciousness emerges as its own property. And I go back to, it'd be called panpsychism. And I kind of stop following philosophy because I don't need to prove it beyond just wanting it to be.
Yeah.
Where it's the belief that like consciousness is a fundamental aspect of all things. And it's not comforting in the sense that it's not going to be me when I die. It's not going to be me floating around. But it just, to me, negates the idea of nothingness. But I would have panic attacks like I read about this. I think his name was Freeman Dyson. And he was like, you know, respected scientist.
Yeah.
Talked in a flowery way about consciousness. And then he said, well, the universe is expanding and they're thinking it's expanding at an accelerating rate, which means someday everything's so separate. There's nothing, essentially. And I read this.
Yeah.
You know, my poor girlfriend, I read this and like. My heart's beating. I'm sweating. It's a book that was published 10 years ago. This isn't new. I just happened to find out myself now. And I'm horrified. And now there's nothing.
That matter is going to detach.
It's going to nothing. And it's. I mean, Woody Allen literally made a joke about it in Annie Hall where his mom's like, what is that your business? And it's like some people are struck with this thought. And it doesn't matter that it's billion years away. It's we're thinking about. And then there's nothing. And I would turn to her to go, prove to me. What no human being has ever been able to prove, that there is something.
Right, but I had the same thing. I had panic attacks about things being over, but I can tell you explicitly that what it was is I was worried about alone. Alone was the thing.
Sure, I'm sure.
And yours is not alone. Your fear is not alone.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to continue to be, and there's nothing and no one. You know, I would want to...
But what is the fear? The fear is... Like the panic attack.
I don't want to not exist.
But why don't you want to not exist?
Because I love existing. Because the potential of existence is the potential for... I just don't want to... Even if I was sad, I want to exist. I want to feel. I want to experience. I want to take in. I want to continue.
Right. So you think that you'll be experiencing non-existence is what it sounds like.
no, well, the argument against the existential fear is you won't be experiencing crisis. You just won't experience. And I go, but that does nothing to comfort me.
It does nothing to comfort you. I'm filled
with dread for when that happens.
What about the fact that we're all going to do it? Isn't that comforting?
I
like, at some point, the people you love are going to die and you're going to be curious about where they went. I mean, that's the only thing that helps me is, like, before I die, my dog will die. My mom will die before I die. Like, I'll join. There is that where it's like, they did it, I can do it. It's like a traversing of a world that they did.
If that's what you if but then you have to believe that they went somewhere as opposed to they just
it's my into thing is wherever food. They went, I have to go. Say my mother dies and goes forever into darkness. I must also do that because I love her. Like, say, you know what I mean? My best friend or my partner dies. I have to join them. I can't send them off. That's how I justify it.
But when you say into darkness, I almost think it's
into whatever the scariest thing is.
But it's not even into something. It's nothing.
But wherever that is, wherever the loss is.
It's not anywhere. That's the thing. It's not anywhere.
Okay, so let me think about it that way. There's not anywhere.
If I awaken a new kind of fear in you.
No. I've had this fear since I was a child, but my whole thing was it was a loss of people. And then what made me justify that is because I'm such a love addict. I think if they go, I have to go. Like, it's my – if I love them, I have to join them.
But that's my thing. It's like they don't go. They vanish. They disappear.
Have to vanish because I can't let them do that without me. That's how I justify it.
Sure, but they don't even exist anymore. So there's nothing for them to you to do with them.
But their non-existence, it's crucial that I also do that or else I almost view it as abandonment. It's like all humans have to do this. Like
they've abandoned you. You can't join them.
No, but living forever, holding on to consciousness.
There was some book about free will where apparently they added a pre-note in the beginning of the book saying, like, if you are depressed, do not read this book. Because it was basically like the book was saying how you don't have free will.
That's what I believe. Like, I don't believe in free will.
Sure.
But it makes me feel a lot better. The idea that there's no free will and we're all on this, we're all tumbling down this hill, hitting different rocks and bouncing off different things and eventually go off the cliff is nice to me. And if I got snagged on the cliff and I was the only one snagged on the cliff, I would hurdle myself off as much as I could because everything I love and everything I know is going off that cliff. That's the thing that helps me. You're going, I'm going. We're of similar age. It'll be around the same time.
Helps you, God bless.
Yeah.
It fills me with nothing but dread.
You have your partner. You have Tova will die. You will die.
Mm-hmm.
Together, we will all enter death, which is a beautiful thing.
We will not enter death. We will cease to exist. And it's a horrifying thing.
Sometimes I can get into that.
Your view is better.
Sometimes I can do it.
I'd love to have your view. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I have. It is something. We enter something. We are something.
It doesn't have to be something, but the nothingness is something. The nothingness, even if there is nothing, whatever that is, we don't know. That's where we're going, which is nice. It'd be way more lonely to exist forever.
I disagree.
Really?
I'd make new friends.
Would you do immortality if you could?
Oh, yeah.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Never been a question. Whenever those, I mean, the others.
Vampire?
Versions. Absolutely.
Forever. That wouldn't give you your own form of claustrophobia that you could never escape?
No. I don't have that.
What?
I don't have that. Like, if I got stuck in a cave and I live forever and I'm trapped.
But you would just go, you would never be like, fuck, I fucked up. Everybody's dead and I want to know what that is.
I'd have to experience it. I think it would be hard to, I can't truly know that, but I think it'd be tough to be some loss. I might go through some depression, but I could, you know.
Every partner you have ages and dies in front of you.
I had a lot of partners that have broken up with me. I mean, that was a death. That was a loss of them. I don't regret living.
You really would think about it. Think if somebody came in right now and was like,
just me. You're saying I'm the only one.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one.
Yeah. You have plants. You have animals. You have the world.
Yeah. And I'd think it over for a little
forever.
Bit.
Forever.
Sure.
You wouldn't enjoy life anymore. The whole point of it is death. The whole thing is death. The big giant black hole is death.
I don't believe any of that shit. Death somehow gives meaning to life.
How? Of course, life doesn't exist without death. It does give meaning.
That might be true, but I don't think death gives life meaning. Life has meaning. You create meaning in any microcosm.
Only
whether it's a Monopoly game,
if
it's pursuing arts, if it's going to the gym, if it's making a meal and eating it, and that was the end of that journey.
Everything
and
you do is because of death. Every time you get on stage is because of death. Every time you orgasm is because of death.
What,
it's
you,
all
Freud?
Because of death.
It's like it's
that,
like
it is that.
No, I don't get on stage because of death.
Yes,
I go on
you
stage
do.
Because it feels good.
It wouldn't feel good without death.
That's not true.
It wouldn't. You
That's
would just be
true.
Looking at faces and being like, here's a funny thing
you,
I've said.
You can't because we can't compare it to doing it without facing death. So we'll never know.
I would argue it wouldn't be fun. I would argue it'd be everything would be a monotonous sludge.
No, I think you'd reach an end point and you go, all right, I did stand-up comedy. You, after 150 years, you go, all right, I think I did this. Now I'm going to study karate.
You would be like, what is the fucking point of this? Forever, I could become good at everything. There's no point. The point is you got to stuff it all in before death.
No. Let me do everything.
We have to go. Do we have to go?
We have 5 more minutes.
Okay, great. Oh, wow. You have a special
coming up.
But
this is my point, is that, and then we talk about
Tell me.
Murdering children, and I go like, yeah, that's what you're... I sometimes think religion, this is where I hate religion, where I think it gives people an ability to not confront what they're actually doing. If you believe in an afterlife,
that's what I
it's
feel.
More excusable to kill a child because, well,
that's what they say about
whatever.
Palestinians, though.
What?
They say that Hamas can kill whoever the fuck because they die a martyr, because, you know, they can send bombers.
These, you say these Palestinian children, are they Hamas?
They're saying that they can strap a bomb to a child and run them into something because that
who's,
kid will
who's
go.
Who's this?
The Hamas.
People, but the, Israel's the saying
Israel,
this about
Israel, yeah.
Hamas. They're saying that they use these tactics.
It's literally, Sam Harris calls it a death cult. It is death cult.
But the problem with Sam Harris, how can you say, then what is Israel if not a death cult?
I think he probably would be like, we shouldn't be bombing people. But
great.
He would, yeah.
But
right.
We are.
But they think that Islam is not going to, it's relentlessly going to be radicalized. Like it's not, it hasn't
sure.
reformed.
I, when I hear people express that overarching anxiety about this ideology, they're looking at this ideology and they're saying this thing that unites a lot of people of various different stripes. There's people who are culturally Muslim. There's people who are this, just like Judaism, just like Christianity. And they go, something about the core fundamental aspect of this is impossible to have a functioning, peaceful, good society. And I go, well, what is the basis for what is the basis for Christianity? It's this fucking Bible that is homophobic, has murder upon murder upon murder, and has been used in history to justify murder, and currently with Israel is being used to justify murdering children. And I go, all ideologies are brutally flawed. All ideologies can be manipulated. You can, with no religion, become a death cult. So I think people like Sam Harris, they hyperfixate on a one ideology over all others, and they always point out only the most extreme examples of things that emerge from that ideology without truly reflecting on what's coming from other ideologies and the fact that any ideology can be exploited to commit horrible, painful, brutal killings. And it's even more offensive right in this moment when Israel is doing such heinous things to innocent civilians. And
well,
I go,
yeah.
I go, how can you be pointing with this huge brush when currently this group from a different ideology is committing all these heinous acts that you're accusing the other person of, the other ideology of? And I just think it is someone
who is...
Because
they would just say it's not for the sake of religion. Like Zionists aren't necessarily... They're non-religious Zionists.
Sure, and there's
they would say
and
this group
point,
of people is fundamentally religious.
There's non-religious Muslims, and there's people who subscribe, and Trump's not religious, but he says he's Christian. All of this is a means of factions.
But doesn't Hamas
and
keep
interests.
Bombing? Keep sending shit.
As Israel like bombs them, do they send things back? I don't know. I'm not here to go. Hamas is good. I'm going. The IDF is bad. That is what I am saying.
I think it's known that the IDF is bad, but I also think that when you have, I don't think Zionists are necessarily religious. I think Zionists are like, if you have the Jewish people and then you have Hamas, where they're like, hey, you actually have to stop.
But here's what the assumption is that everyone in Hamas or anyone who can, that they must truly be religious. Zionists, some of them aren't religious at all, but them, all of them. It's because they believe in, as opposed to, they might believe in a faction or a movement or a thing in the same respect, and they might all gather for the prayer, the same way all sorts of groups gather for their regular ritual, but that doesn't mean.
But until Hamas bends the knee, basically.
I think they've bent knees and so when is.
I don't know if they've bend the knee, but I do know that
they've negotiated. And also, what do you mean bend the knee?
Bend the knee and being like, this can be a Jewish state. We lose.
Sure. And I think that's taking away someone's land.
Stop killing our civilians. We will bend the knee. We will stop sending missiles.
Stop killing as Israel. And what is Israel going to do when they get all this power? They're going to kick all the Palestinians out while bombing them and murdering
them.
And by the way, bend
the knee. You have to bend the knee. You have to save your civilians. You have to. Hamas has to bend the knee and say, you win. And don't fucking.
You have negotiations. The idea of you win. First of all, you need to have negotiations with people. We have to come up with.
But this is what I don't know. I don't know what the negotiations have looked like.
Of course.
I don't know what they've looked
like. But the concept of like bend the knee so Israel gets to
I'm arguing that side of things. I'm just arguing that against you.
Sure.
If you.
But there's no need. We're funding the other side. We're funding Israel committing war crimes and starving people right now. So what does it mean to bend the knee if you're starving and just trying to get a fucking food?
Because the people that are in control of those starving people, the people who say you
are in control, but what do you mean in control? Right now, Israel's in control. They are in control.
If I'm at a hospital and there's a bunch of little kids and I take a giant tank and I'm bombing the shit outside of the hospital, the cops are going to have to take out the hospital because I'm bombing the shit out of this other. Like if Hamas keeps sending bombs
over. There was a comic that I thought illustrated well where like let's say there's someone who you've labeled as a terrorist and they've theoretically strapped three babies onto them.
Yeah.
Do you go, well, I'm going to kill them all? Or do you go, oh, fuck, we got to figure this out. And if you kill three babies, are you not the terrorist?
Well, what is the, why does he have them strapped to him? Is he about to blow up a lot of people? Or just
Israel's
the babies?
He's blowing up a lot of people. Listen, again, all I know is that you have to look at the numbers at a certain point.
Yeah.
You have to talk about the numbers.
Yeah.
And the number of Palestinians that have been slaughtered and are being starved and the journalists that have been killed. And you can't look at that and quibble with, but why hasn't the other side all perfectly in unison
decided
to just
move on? Not to mention the resources is insane. I mean, it's not even close to an even fight.
And we know America knows what it's doing. Israel knows what it's doing. We all know what it's doing. And there will be a cultural shift. And a lot of people are gonna turn around and use the same way that Israel tied all Jewishness to being a Zionist. People are going to turn around and become anti-Semites because of it.
Do you think it's causing like a weird schism in our society right now where people know that they're being self-deceptive?
Certainly. I think it's certainly to create a schism in the liberal community.
Yeah.
I think we were all unified kind of against Trump to a certain degree and against Republicans to
a certain
degree.
But how did it happen that all the Jewish people became Zionists? It was just because of October 7th and then they all...
No. But it's not just because of October 7th. I mean, I think like Zionism in Israel is taught as... the Holocaust obviously impacted everyone's lives in these astounding ways and people descended from survivors and there was a fear of it happening again. How do we protect this? How do we keep reminding people of it? And of course, like all things in this world, that is manipulated in certain ways. And October 7th just, I did the Birthright trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of Jews did the Birthright trip. And I did it, you know, I have no excuse other than I went to college for musical theater. I didn't know a single thing. But it's like, you're trained to go, this is your second home. And
oh, really? That's what Birthright's
I've never connected to community in that grander way. I have friends, but I've never, whether it be as a white person, as a man, as a straight person, or a Jew, or an Italian. I've never been like, us Italians, us Jews. Yeah. And I think that is it's been a lonely existence, but it gives a certain degree of clarity when you see people actively lying and spreading propaganda to commit their in to protect their in-group over everyone else and call bullshit.
Do you get in fights with your family all the time?
No, they're not politically engaged, thankfully.
It's super interesting for me because I can see when I talk to one person, I see one side, and when I talk to the other person, I see the other side.
Again, I think at the end of the day, look at the numbers. Look at the number of Palestinians killed.
That's what I did with ChatGPT, and I was very swayed.
Just look, and you can go back to that. Life is obviously complicated, but you can't let people paint Palestinians with any kind of broad brush. You can't act like children, let alone adults. But children is the easiest way to look at it and go that they all believe in their core DNA that they hate Jews.
Yeah.
And you have to look at what's happening. You just have to look at what's happening and not get lost in like thought experiments.
Yeah.
People are being starved right now. It's a genocide.
We also have to not get lost in intelligent people that you respect being on one side, because that is a huge thing.
But we all know that intelligent people can be blinded. Intelligent people can.
It's a lot of them. It's a lot of them. It's a lot of people that you love and respect. It's a lot of really, really, really talented people being like.
But I think that's why I want to kind of grab those intelligent people and go, just say what you mean, which is you don't think that all these babies' lives, all these people's lives are worth it, are worth excruciating brutal pain for your own protection. Say that
they would say that it's not true that we're killing that many babies. I mean, it's all media shit.
But then you're dealing with a liar, and there's no point in doing a good faith with someone who's lying. We are. I've seen the video of the father holding the plastic bags with parts of his child.
Yeah, but there's a lot of those that are fake.
There's not a lot of those that are fake. There's not a lot of those that are fake. What do you mean?
That's what just what I hear, is that so many of those things are fake.
I know. But then
I've caught one being fake. There was an obvious fake.
You caught one being fake. So again, look at the numbers. It doesn't matter if everything, there's going to be misinformation online forever. We've entered that era fully. But the moment that we start going, then I go back to the Jews and I go, then was it 6 million? If we're going to play the fucking fake number game, then how can you defend your numbers and dismiss these? There's obviously murders. We've seen video after video after video after video. There have been people, and it gets dismissed. And groups have labeled it a genocide. Mm. And groups have said Netanyahu is guilty of war crimes. And what are we just going to go, well, I don't believe that. At a certain point, you have to look at how many things. You can be skeptical. But if you're skeptical to the degree that you're dismissing a genocide, then you're no better than the fucking people who looked at the Holocaust happening and went like, it's not that, it's a work thing, and they do have rights and they are fed. I mean, and it makes me furious because it's so easy to just go, well, it's not happening. There's so much proof. There's so much proof of what's happening. And we just have to admit the uncomfortable reality that we are funding it. And grab people who try to quibble about this and try to talk about the nuance and go, shut the fuck up. We are supporting a genocide right now. And you have to admit that you are willing to kill innocent people en masse to make yourself feel a little bit safer. And I don't agree with that worldview. And a lot of people don't agree with that worldview. And if you're going to fucking send the police to knock heads at the college, then you are part of a fascist ideology.
I don't know if it's safer, but I do think it's easier. I think that that's a big thing that's going on. It's easier. Sure.
But then if that's the morality you want to have in this world, do not pretend to me that you want me to believe in some version of right and wrong in the microcosm of your society. Mm. Your society does not deserve to continue to function on moral grounds if it only exists only for your select group of people. And don't be surprised when a group that is able to dehumanize another group for their own interest turns around and dehumanizes you the second it serves them. Mm-hmm. And the second that they go, well, now that we fucking dealt with that problem, I'm tired of these fucking comedians making jokes about Israel.
Right.
It's the classic poem, first they came for the... Yeah. Da, ba, 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 ba. You gotta fight it. And in the age of misinformation, you cannot allow the idea that this thing is fake. There are people have been murdered. And to be shocked that some kid might be radicalized when both their parents were killed. What would we do if both our parents were murdered by someone else? And also the idea that it's going to create safety. It's not going to create safety. All it's going to do is going to create people who want revenge, and rightfully so. And so then what do you have to do? You have to continue a cycle of killing. And the bottom line is, I don't think that's the world we want to live in. I think that's people, especially when it's like Americans who are untouched directly by this. I'm going like, you're allowing your anxiety to justify a new kind of morality that has no basis in anything. And it makes me long for a religion that at least is principled.
For somebody afraid of death, you're looking to get shot through a window pretty soon here.
I love you. Let me head out.
Say or plug your piece.
If you want to listen to my podcast, it's called The Downside.
It's a great podcast. I've done it.
Really fun. You've guest co-hosted. You were wonderful every time. And I have a comedy special which doesn't have any Israel jokes in it.
Really?
Well, we filmed it in February, and it was just too... The stuff like that I release in the moment.
Okay.
Because it's just like 6 months later.
It you feels don't know. Yeah.
Not, you know, I was like, oh, maybe it'll be resolved in a couple months. And yeah. Then this joke will seem silly. That comes out September 19th on my YouTube.
What's it called?
Thief of Joy.
Yeah. Great name. Thank you.
Thank you.